You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We've received something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world. Because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Bigfoot lives in a movie right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what do you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to moccasin. Planning for a little hell. Out in the St. John's walls, Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. The man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, folks. Marco Bill here. Say, you know, everybody's hearing about Charlie Sheen this last 2 weeks, right? And today an emergency happened, Tom. I mean, as you know, we've had all these people being called in here to take the place of Charlie Sheen as Two and a Half Men lead. Well, guess what? Tom's on the ticket. Nah, not really. Tom had to go to, he was contacted this afternoon by a production company and he needed to get together with them to set up a shooting sequence for upcoming TV reality show. So he had to go to that. He's out there right now in the meeting. He never wants to miss one of these shows. But, you know, Two and a Half Men isn't bad. That's a good rumor. We can pass that one around. Anyway, tonight we got some really good entertainment coming on. First, what I'd like to do, Alex is taking a look at the chat room. I'm going to take and give some shout-outs to our friends and family who are not doing so well. And the very first one, of course, is Alex himself. I don't know if you folks know this. Alex has been through some pretty hefty operations here. And the last couple of weeks, the pain was so bad that he actually had a couple of operations for, actually it's like a digital block where it blocks the nerve so he doesn't get all the pain. He still has it, but he doesn't feel it. And so he's still suffering from that, but he's going to come on. He's come on tonight, and he's going to help me with the show. So, and the other thing that happened is really, I mean, this is really sad. And Alex's mother has been doing really good the last few weeks here. And yesterday he was notified that she's in a coma and she's not expected to make it more than a couple of days. In fact, right after the show, Alex is going to fly out and try to get back home to see her before she passes away. Another one of our friends and family, one of our listeners out there, and she contacts me all the time via Facebook to tell me what's going on, and she loves listening to the show, and she keeps me posted all the time. Anyway, your name is Helen S. Tracy. And she's going in for soon here for major surgery for a bone graft of her hip bone to replace a foot bone that's badly broken. And she's really she's asking for all of our healing prayers and our good wishes to help her along. All of these people, and all the others that we don't know, there's many people out there that have a lot of not just medical problems, but financial problems, all those things that affect us on a day-to-day basis. And what we do is here at Bigfoot Live is we ask all of our friends and family out there to send out your healing, whether you're religious or not, it don't make any difference. A well wish is just as good as a prayer. And send out a prayer or your well wishes, and it helps. I can guarantee you. I'm a firm believer of that. It's happened to me in the past year, and I thank you all for doing that. Alex, how are you tonight, my friend?
Are you doing great, Michael? Doing great. Sounds like I got a bad connection, though.
No, you're doing okay. We can hear you fine. It might sound like that on your end, but you're doing real fine. You're coming across nice and clear.
Excellent. Super. Doing great. You know, mom took a little bit of a turn, so I got, thanks to my daughter, my second oldest daughter, my little girl who's back in Boston, we got a flight booked tonight, and I'm going to head back about a half hour after the show. I'm leaving the house, and I'll be there until, you know, while I'm needed.
Well, that's fine, Alex. I hope you have a safe flight. Tell us who's in the chat room.
Oh, thanks, Marco. Tonight we got a full house in the chat room. Right now we got 15 strong going. We got Triple O. We got myself, of course, Billy Green. We got the Chief Monster Chaser. That would be Mitch. We got Connie Gilbert up there in the great country of Canada. We got the GBRI director, Jan Allen. We got Kenny, we got Leroy, we got Mike K, we got the Secret 48, we know that's Big Steve, we got Tin Can, we got West Rocks in the house, so that's representing Boston, I think, and then we got a couple of guests that haven't logged in. Those could be the mystery chatters.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a pretty good docket of entertainment for you. Tonight we've got Kenny from PA, and about a year ago he had an encounter, and he actually took a video when he was out in the woods there. They heard noises, but he couldn't see anything, and they took the video anyway. Him and his wife were both out there, and when they went back, they seen in the video what we thought was looked like a Bigfoot, and of course we still think it is. We had some people take a look at that, and of course they were negative on it. They said it was a leaf, but that's not true, because I look at it and I can't see that, and I've looked at it with some enhancements as well. But Kenny, excuse me, I'm on my third bout with the flu here. Kenny went back out here this past week. He's been going out pretty regular, but in searching around, taking a look around in his area there, and he went back out there this past week, and he took a look at the same place where he was at, and he was able to find the exact position where he was at with the camera and put that where the exact position of the creature was that he took the picture of. And so he's got a guesstimate of the height of the creature and some other things that he found as he went through it. We also have tonight Teron Denson, and he's our Choctaw native friend from Mississippi, and he has some absolutely phenomenal information. A couple of weeks ago, his sister had an encounter with one, and Tyrone is an artist as well. He's going to try to render a drawing of what his sister's seen here in the next short time here, and then send it to us so we can get a picture of what his sister did see. Also, Leroy Blevins is back. He's going to finish up where he started. His wife was took ill here last week and was pretty ill, and he had to take care of her. But he's back this week to to tell us about, well, some of his projects and things, but notably the Patterson-Gimlin film controversy that he worked on and did such a fine job on. And, of course, Mitch Waite is out there. He's been out. He just got back today. He's a tired puppy. And he actually has a growl that he got a recording of. I'll show that to you later on. And, of course, Alex is going to give us a rundown at the very end of the show of what things have been going on in his area and that he knows about. So, anyway, let's get started with Kenny. Kenny, push your star 7 button and let's get going, buddy. Tell us what's going on.
Hello?
We got you. Alex, okay, are you on there, buddy?
I'm in. We got
right
the elusive Kenny, the elusive Bigfoot.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing tonight?
Good,
I'm
Kenny. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Well, Kenny, why don't you tell us what transpired here in the last couple of weeks. Well, first of all, give us a little background on what you've been doing since your encounter.
Well, after Janine and I had taken that video back October 6th of 2009, my life really changed that day. After watching the video over and over and over again, you know, I can... With my eyes and with other people that have seen the clean video, they see it, I see it. You know, if someone else can't see it, that's their problem. You know, I'm not upset about it. I can see it, but, you know, from that day on, Janine and I have really started going into the woods. I've done a lot of research on it, read just about anything I can, watched video. I mean, that's all I do for the past, since October 6th of 2009. That's all I've been doing. And we've been out in the woods quite a bit lately. Well, not Janine. I've been solo for the past month or so. She broke her toe, so I've been going out in the woods solo for about the last month or so. But, yeah, I'm getting out 3-4 nights a week. It's sort of quiet now. I haven't heard or saw anything. But the way I look at it right now in the winter months with the snow, and I look at it almost as doing my homework. I'm out. I can see the lay of the land. You can see a lot better further distances. You know, it's something as far as tree structures, arches, tree twists, you can see them in further distance in the winter than in the summer when you have all the thicket and the, you know, the heavy bush and that. So I'm out just studying. I have two areas I go to. I'm just out studying the areas and looking for evidence, and then when summer comes, spring comes, which I feel will probably be back in the area, then, you know, I'll know where there possibly could be some activity. I found a lot of arches, a lot of tree structures. So, you know, I'll go back to those areas in the summer, and hopefully there'll be some activity there still. So that's basically what I've been doing. Yesterday I went back up to the sighting area out the Appalachian, and I wanted to take a video. Now, where I set my camera, that's the only stump I could find shooting that area. It's not exactly where I walked and shot the original film, but it's in the same vicinity. I wanted to get a true, well, not a true height. I can't be exact on the exact height, but I wanted to get a better idea of the height, because when we originally shot the video and estimated the height, I think we were, well, I know we were in the wrong spot, and we were a little bit high on the measurement of the creature. Now, this creature here that we shot, I would estimate it not to be seven plus feet tall. I'm thinking more about 6 feet, anywhere from 6 foot to 6'5", maybe. So that's, you know, I just wanted to get that can clear that up a little bit. But yeah, I've just been out in the woods enjoying it. You know, if I don't find anything, you know, what's the worst that can happen? I'm getting exercise, and I'm loving, you know, loving the woods. So that's about it. That's all I've been doing. But it has been quiet. Been quiet since October. So I'm waiting for spring to come and looking forward to it.
Kenny, tell us what the area is like where you're going. Now, mountainous, flat, what's the temperature right now? Is there caves? Is there water? Is there wildlife? You know, we've heard you for a few times, but not everybody has. And we'd like you to elaborate just a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, can I say something before you start, Kenny? If you look on www.bigfootlive.com, right underneath Kenny's show, you know, the guest appearance on the webpage there, you're going to see a link. And the link goes to the video that that Kenny took on his flip. And it shows the area exactly. And it shows him walking out there, and it shows him exactly where it was standing, everything. So it gives you a good idea of where the area that he was in when he had the encounter. Go ahead, Kenny. I'm sorry.
Sure. Okay, back to your question, Alex. And by the way, Alex, I want to put my prayers out to your mother. I hope the best. Back to your question.
Thank you, bud.
You're welcome. You're welcome, buddy. I have two areas I go to. The one area is the Appalachian. It's about, it's mountainous. It's about, I'd say, 12 to 1,300 feet elevation. And I walk the trail, the Appalachian Trail actually walks or goes straight through the top of the mountain. So you're walking at the very top of the mountain. And I walk back about, I don't know, where I took that video, that was back about 3.5 miles back into the woods. That is the one area that I like to walk. The other is two mountains over, which is Stony Mountain area, Stony Creek area. And I follow there's about 20 to 30 miles of state game land that you cannot drive a vehicle on. The only way you can go up through it is walk or ride a mountain bike or a horse. And I like to go up into that area. There's plenty of vegetation. There's ample water. Like I said, the stream runs right through it. And it's desolate. I mean, that's actually that's a hot area. That's one of the hot areas that Nian and I had last year. We had a lot of experiences up there last summer. We heard whistles. We had tree knocking. We had rock clapping. The one time we were sitting there and we were actually getting ready to leave, and we had a tree break down right across the stream from us. We were sitting at the edge of the stream just listening, and there was no wind that day, and something broke the tree right in half. I mean, I didn't see the tree fall because it was back behind some brush, but something broke a tree down, and so we decided to leave that day. But we had a lot of experiences up in that area. But yeah, it's mountainous. There's plenty of water, vegetation, you know, ample wildlife for food for them. So that's about the area that we've been looking in. I'd like to maybe try a couple different areas, but those seem to be the two spots that we've been frequenting.
Well, thanks, Kenny. And Kenny, I want to tell you, I appreciate you coming on tonight and sharing everything with us. And you're going to we keep in touch with each other. So as things transpire, just let me know. Give me a holler.
I will.
If anything happens, we'll get you back on here.
I will, definitely.
You're pretty good with that little old video.
I'll tell you, Mark, but it's very easy. It's like holding a little cell phone is all it is. And, it, you know, for $150, whatever it is, it shoots pretty decent video. So
yeah, no, it's a very good quality.
Yeah.
So, But I want to thank you for coming on tonight, taking the time out and coming on the show. And I appreciate you sharing with us, as always. Say hi to your wife for us.
I will. I will. I thank you. Can I say hi to someone real quick?
You certainly
let me just
can.
Say hi. Let me just say hi to Youngblood. He gave me a shout-out last week. I wanted to say hi to him. Miss you, Youngblood. Take care, brother.
Well, just hit your star 6 button, and if you got time, listen to the rest of the show.
I will, Marco. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, well, Alex.
See you soon, Kenny. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, God bless you. My prayers are with you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks,
Alex, we're going to go to a break right now, and we'll be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan?
Well, it's back to you there, Alex, and we got Tyrone Denson on. And what's
your name?
Hello, Tyrone.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hi, Rick. Excellent, we can hear you. Evening.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well, buddy. Hope all is well in your land. Tell us about your experience.
I'm here in central Mississippi, and, I was very intrigued by Bigfoot at the age of, I was about 13, maybe 14. I saw the Patterson Gremlin video on TV. I don't know, it's been so long, I don't know what the program was about, but I became intrigued by Bigfoot, and little did I know, I would have a Bigfoot experience, a couple of them, and I have been searching for Bigfoot. I've compiled stories that people have told me over the years, and I have a niece, not my sister, but my sister's daughter, my niece, who just recently had her second Bigfoot sighting just a few yards out of the behind my mother and father's home where I'm sitting at right now. I told the story before last time that I was on. My niece was dragging a dead dog down a trail just behind my mother's house, and it was cold, and she had her hood on, and the hood was quite large, and she didn't have no peripheral vision, and she laid the dog down and was looking at the dog when she heard some noises, like trees snapping, twigs snapping, and she turned her head, and about 10 feet away from her, it's not one, but two creatures standing there looking at her, and she described it as very tall. He said it was tall as a doorway, and the doorway is, 10, 12 feet high, and she said that one was shorter than the other. They had reddish-brown hair, and the eyes were round, dark. The pupils were black, but we have the white around our pupils. Theirs was kind of red. And she said that the one that she had locked eyes with, he bore his teeth and growled at her, and that's when she ran home. and they had to, the folks in the house had to calm her down because she was, I guess she was too excited. She was crying and she was like throwing up, and they had to hold her down because she was so scared. But that's her second sighting in the same general area, but that's about the fourth or the fifth sighting right there in the back. I talked to my cousin Dominic some time back, and he works at the casino as a security who saw Bigfoot back there behind my mom. I asked, what did you see? And he said, I don't know. He said, I've never seen anything like it before in the woods, and there's a nature trail there that many of our Choctaw people walk through to get to the main community, and they were, him and his mother were walking through the nature trail, and they were building a water park and a 300-acre-plus lake there, and they were clearing it out there to build all that amusement park and all that stuff. So anyway, they were coming down the trail, and it about he was saying about 20 yards away, not 20 yards, I think it was probably 40 yards away, because he said it was about like from here to that car, he said, he said he saw something sitting there squatting down and was eating. I said, what did it look like? He said that he'd never ever seen anything like that in the woods, but he said whatever it was looked like a big orangutan, and they could see it from the back, but as the trail sort of curved around, they could see it from the side, and it was a creature that was there eating, squatting down and eating something. And they don't know what it was eating, but they were so scared that they just went on down the trail rapidly. Anyhow, and then there was my friend who sings in my Southern Gospel singing group. I sing in a group, and he said him and his wife were coming downhill on the highway, which is adjacent to my mother's house, about maybe 100 yards or maybe less, through the woods, through the little patch of woods, with the highway. He said, coming down the hill, he said there was this big, huge creature that just took a couple of steps, it seemed like it, and just, it was off the highway already, you know, and ran to the direction of my mother's house, you know, back there. So there's something out there, and we were just so excited that some people have been coming around to investigate, you know, people. I was so, you know, I was so proud that people would come and walk through the woods behind my mother's house and, you know, trying to find evidence. You know, I did. Me and my friend Patrick Collins from Bocchito, he came by a week ago, and we went through the woods and looking for footprints and hairs or anything we can find as evidence. But Patrick himself had he's interested in Bigfoot because he himself lived in Oregon, and he said, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was on his way to Seattle, and he said on the main road there he saw somebody running down the road. He said he thought it was somebody wearing white a red suit or something, you know. It was big. He said this fella is really big. You know, and as he got closer and closer, he said he realized that it wasn't a man; it was a creature And he told me, he said, and I quote him, he said, oh my God, it's Bigfoot, you know. And he was telling me that he's always heard about Bigfoot, but he never thought that he'd see one in his lifetime, but he did. So he came around, and we're planning to, when the weather gets good, we're going to go down there around the area where this creature was spotted by these people, and we're going to be sitting around at night and, you know, I'm going to probably make a little fire, you know, and just sit around and see what we can come up with, you know. But I've had amassed some stories from other people, and I just like to tell you this one story that I used to go to All Native American College in Lawrence, Kansas. It's called Haskell Indian Nations University, and I met a fellow. He was a friend of mine. His name was Leroy Longknife, and he lived in, he was from Oregon, I believe. One summer, he went to his grandmother, and this is a wild story that he told me. And I often, you know, wondered if he was telling me the truth, but he insists that it is the truth, you know. I said, "Are you pulling my leg?" And he said, no, this is really happened, you know. And he was really adamant about it. And his story was, there was this old Native American man that usually walks by his grandmother's house on the road. Each day, he'd see this man walking by. And he decided to follow the man through the woods. He said the man walked through the woods, you know, for a long time, and he walked behind him far enough where the man couldn't see him. So when he came up on a clearing, you know, it was like a field, you know, long grass and the flowers in the field, and way out in the middle of the field was like a barn. And he said he watched the man walking toward the barn, and he kind of slipped, he went off the trail, and, you know, he was in front of the structure, but he managed to go around and where he could see the man from the side of the building. He said he saw a man go into the barn, and he said he just sat there and watched, and then a few minutes later, this man came out of the building, and lo and behold, there was a creature that walked out of the building with him, you know. And he said that man turned around, and he was waving his arms at the creature, and was appeared to be scolding the creature, where the creature turned around and appeared to be sulking, you know, and turned around and looked back at him, and the man, you know, waved his arm at him, and creature went back into the building. And I always thought that was a pretty far-fetched story, but Leroy says, that's, you know, that really, really happened. Well, he'll say he never forgot that, you know, so... I don't know.
Excuse me, John. We're running short on time, but boy, I tell you, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. Now, you're going to do a drawing, rendering of your niece's thing, and when you do that, or anything else happens, you know, you got my number. Give me a call. We'll get you back on the show. When we go through drawing here, we'll go through that and post it, and everybody can take a look and see what your niece seen.
Everybody is excited about it, and people have been coming around.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. But I'd like to have all kinds of time, but we've got two other guests left on the show there. They need to get their time in.
But thank you so much for coming on, Tyrone. And if you hit your star 6 button, that'll mute you out, and you can listen to the rest of the show right on the phone there.
Okay, well, I got to tend to my elderly parents now.
Okay.
Well, I'll say goodbye to all the people out there in Bigfoot Land.
Thank you for coming on, and you're always welcome. You know you're part of our Bigfoot family. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. You take care of yourself.
Thank you, Tyrone.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Good night now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody, that was Tyrone Denson from Mississippi. And I've talked to him for a couple hours, and he has several other encounter stories that he's picked up over the years, too. Well, let's go back out here and let's say, Leroy, could you hit your star 7 button, my friend?
Okay, I'm here.
There you are, Alex. Leroy, you left off a couple of weeks ago, and what we're going through, and I still have posted the link up on www.bigfootlive.com right underneath your thing is the web page that I put up with the suit and the comparison and all that good stuff. And I'm going to tell you, I've went over that several times, and that is absolutely, you did it. I mean, I can't believe you know how well you did that. I mean, my goodness. But anyway, go ahead and pick up where you kind of left off, and I guess the major thing was the controversy of the Patterson, the Patterson film, and is it real or is it not real? And you've done a lot of work in actually getting in there. You didn't make a biased decision. You went in and actually looked at the evidence on your own terms and found some things that other people have just overlooked because they assume things. So, Alex, go ahead, Leroy, and take off on him, buddy.
Okay, like I said before, after I got done doing my research on the Patterson-Gimlin film, okay, and I made the suit and everything else, and I showed what was in the film, I let it go for a while. But then when I did see the started doing more research back on it, that's when I started piecing it together, seeing different parts of this film, that film, and they're actually parts from Roger Patterson's documentary that he was filming. So when I started looking into that more, I was like, wait a minute, no one's ever talked about, you know, the documentary before, not even Bob Gimlin, Bob Hieronymus, and nobody talked about it. But come to find out, they was actually filming the documentary. And all they did was just take the part from the documentary and put it out as a film, as a real Bigfoot, when it really wasn't. It was just actually part from the documentary that they were filming at that time. That's why when N.K. Davis went over it, and he looked at that one frame, I think it's 352, where he sees a dog print. Well, that's actually in the Roger Patterson documentary, they had like 3 dogs in there. And you'll see parts of the clips that they show over the net or like on TV shows and stuff where they'll show Roger, especially in old TV shows, where you'll see Roger Patterson riding along and you'll see dogs running around him on the ground. That's part from the documentary. Then you'll see Bob Hieronymus and Jerry Merrick riding down the hillside. That's part from the documentary. Roger Patterson and them riding through the canyons and through sceneries and stuff, because when I got a hold of John Green and I started emailing him, asking him questions, he told me, I asked him, you know, what is actually on the film? Because we only see parts of the film, like the part where Patterson's riding through the woods and then Bob Gimlin going down the roadside and then the Bigfoot part, and that's it. But he says mainly the film just shows is scenery and someone riding on horseback. That's it. And that's before and after the Bigfoot. And what got me thinking is, wait a minute, why would they film more sceneries and more people riding on horseback, you know, if they just got done filming this Bigfoot? So when I start piecing everything together, all it was just a documentary that Roger Patterson, Jerry Merritt went to Hollywood trying to sell. They couldn't sell it or anything else. They turn around, start splicing the film together to make this Bigfoot film. And after I seen that, and all of a sudden, when I made my suit, and I started comparing my suit to the Bigfoot in the film, then going over the height of the Bigfoot as well, because, you know, Bill Munns claimed the Bigfoot's 7'4". Well, actually, the Bigfoot in the film is 6'7", because with my suit on, I'm 6'2", but the suit puts another 5 inches on me, so I'm 6'7". Well, when I did a scale model of me and my suit, and I compared it right next to the Bigfoot in the film, it was 6'7". And that's the same thing that John Green did years ago when he filmed, I think it was Jim McLaren, that he was filming in the same location. And Jim McLaren is 6'5", and if you look at his comparison, you'll see that the Bigfoot is actually only 2 inches taller than him. So that puts Bigfoot at 6'7", not 7'4" and stuff like they claim and everything else. That's not right. You were saying something,
well,
Alex?
It's funny how earlier analysis had the Bigfoot at 6'6" or so, and then a recent analysis, you know, 30, 40 years later, had the Bigfoot at over 7 foot. And, you know, I don't even know how they could judge that now with all the growth. The area looks totally different. Leroy, is there any way that someone could see what Gimlin and Patterson claim is the full 100 feet of film? Now, because I've had recent exposure to interviews from Bob Gimlin, and they're out there on YouTube, and we could take those for word and put them against, you know, your findings for one film, because mostly what he says matches what he's always said. However, I think you could probably, you know, with your data, pull a couple of inconsistencies out of what he said. And listening to his speech, and I won't get into that now because that would take away from your time, but listening to his speech, I wrote down a couple of, I thought was inconsistency, I wanted to ask you about, and I've just been too busy, so maybe when I get done with all this stuff with my mom, I'll run it by you. I got my notes right here.
Okay.
But I think now we can use his own words against him, and I think that's basically what you've already done, too, right?
Yeah, because like in a lot of his interviews, okay, like he did an interview for BBC years ago, I think it was 2000 or 90-something, where he says, well, no one can hoax me, but, you know, he's seen a lot of things. He's a lot older now, wiser and stuff, and there could have been a possibility it was a hoax. And then turn around here in 2009, in another interview, Bob Gimlin says Roger Patterson had the camera with him the whole time. He didn't have nothing to do with the camera at all. He was just there to be the horse person. That was it, because he don't even take pictures to this day. A little as they go, each interview they give anymore is just, it's like he's gradually saying that, you know, it was a hoax. All, you know, but they don't want to come out and say it was, because it's like Ron Olson is the one that did the documentary of Sasquatch, Legend of Bigfoot. Well, that's Roger Patterson's idea, and that's the documentary that he was filming. It's just, for some reason or another, I guess he turned that, Roger Patterson gave him the ideal, which I don't understand why, because they're complaining about the film itself, like Mrs. Patterson owns rights to it. Well, John Green says the ownership is in dispute. Because I asked him, is there any possible way I can get it? Because I asked him, I said, is there any possible way I can get a copy of the film myself, you know, the real film, so I can actually look at it frame by frame and see exactly what's on it? He said, well, there's no way I can get a copy of it, because the original film was left in with a filming company years ago. I guess the people that first showed the film or something, he said it was left in the film company. They had the original one, and then it went bankruptcy. Another company bought it out, and then it went bankruptcy. Now another company owns it, but no one has original film. So that got me thinking, with all these researchers that people have been, you know, talking about the 7'4" of the Bigfoot and stuff, how can they possibly say that when they're not really not working with the original film, because they could have made the copies on 35mm. And if you look at the colors of film they have, there's like three or four different colors of reels of film that they was actually using in the Bigfoot creature. I mean, it's hard to notice it because, you know, they speed it up. But if you look at it, you'll see it actually changes colors in the films they show. Now, why would, you know, this one minute of film or 57 seconds of film have like three different colors of three different types of film used in just this 157 seconds? Just like recently I found out that the part where somebody named Steve, he owns a bookshop in Willow Creek, he was sitting there telling me about the Larry Lund, you know, photo. And I said, you know, I appreciate it. You know, it wasn't taken by Larry Lund. It was taken. Jerry Merritt asked somebody at the film site to take that photo of the cast. And that's where you see the photo of Bob Gimlin with the wig on and everything else. Well, also, he, in his little thing he said in his quote on a comment, he said that, I'm trying to remember what it actually said, because I ain't got it in front of me right now, where he was, let's see, Jerry Merritt. Well, I'll have to come back to that one, because I can't remember the comment stuff, and I don't want to quote nothing that, you know, I can't remember or something, or if it's not in front of me. But like I said, after a while, I'll start to do what's that?
Happens to me all the time.
But if you have everything in front of you, it's all right. You know what I'm saying? You can go through one thing at a time, but it's kind of hard,
yep.
You know, when you know, because I can't be on the computer at the same time. I mean, I got it, my window shut down and everything else because I don't want that echo in the phone from, you know, the show and everything else. But like I said, after a year of doing actual research on the film, all it was a documentary that Roger Patterson and them was filming in 1967. But I think it was actually filmed earlier, I say in late 66 and in 67, because you'll see a lot of similarities in Roger Patterson's book that he brought out in 1966 that it goes right along with the same story that he was telling about that day of October 20th, about how they was riding down this old logging road and has him and his partner turn in the road, because that's the same story they tell in their same story when they seen the Bigfoot. And that's why you see some of the drawings look like the Bigfoot they filmed, and you'll see some of the cast prints that Roger Patterson made that he also took photos of and drawings that he did of cast of Bigfoot that actually matches the casting prints that he has in his hands. You see what I'm saying? So
yep.
Everything's just in other words, the book ties into documentary ties into the film, and all it was is Roger Patterson was trying to come up with some ideal to make a lot of money off of it. So he wrote the book. It didn't go nowhere when he brought it out. Then he started trying to sell the documentary, which it didn't go nowhere. So what he did was, if we splice this together, we'll sell it this way, and that's the only one he made money off of, is just that one part of the film where they showed Bigfoot walking away.
And that's why no one's ever found this so-called Roll 2, and that's why you can never see the beginning of Roll 1. You know, I guess supposedly they think he bought 200-foot rolls of film, and everybody knows the Patterson film itself, the Bigfoot Experience part of the film, is only 25 feet long, so he's 75% of that roll of film. If you listen to the story, if we have time, Marco, he says that they just left at 12 to 1 o'clock to go on this last run of the trip. They were going to head home, and they said, let's go do one more look. And it very well could have been set up by Patterson, because there was some, without Gimlin even knowing, because there was some talk of don't shoot it, you know. Cover me, he yells, but they had already talked about don't shoot it. So he's only covering him in case the thing charges back, and, you know, that never came anywhere near happening. But he talks about how they left, you know, at near noon, and this sighting was at X amount of time. To think he wasted, you know, 75% of that roll of film before he even saw the Bigfoot hiking. Then there's one point where it says, you know, Gimlin had the pack horse with him, and Patterson was filming, and his horse was jittery, so he couldn't do both. And there's one point where it shows Patterson filming. You know, it doesn't show Patterson filming, but you have to assume it's him. Imlin, there's no Packard. Imlin is, you know, riding ahead. So that means Patterson is holding the Packard and filming at the same time, which I, you know, either it's set up for like a documentary, like you said, or it's just not evil, you know.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a good point. That's what I was talking about. They said about the cast, you know, where they showed a part of the film, which they said was on Reel 2, of him making the cast prints and them filming the tracks. Well, supposedly that's a comment that he left. Well, what is the comment that he left I was talking about Steve, Larry Lund told him that he left in a comment that they don't know if that was, they don't have no proof that at that part of the film was actually shot on October 20th. So that would have been my shot at another date.
And that's supposed to be on Roll 2, which is not available. If you have shots of that, that's from Roll 2. Because
we only got a few minutes left here for Mitch.
Oh, okay.
And we're cutting into Mitch's time. To be continued, Leroy.
But that's right. Hey, that's okay. Leroy.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about. You have not only this project, you have several other projects. There's so many things. I mean, so many different things that you've tackled. And we'd love to have you on, and you are just absolutely phenomenal when you go through your studies of these things. I really appreciate all the work that you do this. And I know you get ridiculed all the time. But I want to tell you, I've looked at all your work, and I really, really appreciate all the what you put into it. And I want to thank you for coming on tonight again and being with us. And I'll keep in touch with you. We'll get you back on again.
Okay.
To go through a different, go through another project that you've done.
Okay, I appreciate that, Marco, and my prayers are out for everybody tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Take care, Leroy, and thank you. God bless.
God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Mitch, come on, my friend. Now, everybody, Mitch has been out here. He just got back, I told you. And he's got back from the field here today, tired, dragging. And he was able to send me an audio file. And what I want to do is a growl that he recorded when he was out there. And what I'd like to do is, Mitch, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
What I want to do is, if you don't mind, I'm just going to I'm going to do this a couple times so you can hear. Now, there's a lot of background noise. You got to understand that. But you can determine the growl, believe me. Here it goes the first time. Now do it again. You can hear, there's a lot of background noise, but you can hear when he starts to growl and he stops growling. Now, we haven't done any filtering or anything to this. This is just raw, right off your thing, right, Mitch?
That's right. Straight off my tape recorder.
And with a little bit of filtering, you can screen out the noise and get the actual vocals on there a lot better. And I want to tell you, that's pretty neat. So, excuse me. So, Mitch, why don't you tell us what you've been doing this last couple days?
Well, I've been doing regular trips up there to figure out what their cycle is, and it looks like they've moved back in to the area and they're getting active again. Last night, we had 2 to 3 whistlers come in. Most people, I call them whistlers because they whistle, and sometimes you can get them to answer to you. I've recorded them before, and that's on my website, where they've whistled, and I've actually whistled back, and they replied to me. So we had 3 whistlers last night, and then it calmed down and was quiet. And I'm now starting to carry voice-activated tape recorders with me. And I leave them in my camp, and I also leave them hidden along with my cameras that I put up on the trees. And so I'm
starting to get some real good results now. This particular trial happened just before daybreak. And the funny thing is about last year, I heard the same thing, but I didn't have a tape recorder. So I don't know if it's Bigfoot, doing a mating call or doing what, but he sure silences the countryside when he does it.
Wow.
Something else.
That's a great recording, Mitch.
Yeah, it kind of overwhelmed the tape recorder. It kind of fuzzes it out a little bit. But, Marco was saying, with a little bit of filtering, we could probably bring out some tonal qualities in that, and you'd be able to hear it better.
I'm sure that could be done. You posted it in the AZCRO forum. Did you get it up on Southwest Publishing yet?
No, I haven't got it in on any of my sites. I actually drove in at 3:30 this afternoon. So, trying to get things around. And I've got a bunch of raw film from my game cameras that I've got to go through, see what's on them. And then there's I found an interesting structure. It's a tree that's been snapped about 20 feet up in the air. Where it was broken, and normally that's not a big deal, just seeing the tree broke in half. But this thing was sitting on top of the tree stump, with about 4 feet of the tree hanging over the stump. It was perfectly squared off. It's almost like a an archway to walk under, but. How it got that way, I just don't understand.
Like a gate to a ranch.
Yes. I'll be posting that on ASCRO and on my website as soon as I can. I haven't had much time to do it. But I did take some video of it and got some photos of it. So it's very interesting.
Well, Mitch, there's a... we have a couple of videos. We haven't published them, but I have a couple of videos, and it actually we did post some of the. We had actually MK Davis, treat the film to still frame and capture it out and blow it up, and it was a Bigfoot in a tree on one side of the tree, and then you look at the film, you'll see you can't. It's it's dark. It's in the evening, twilight time, but you can see it's a creature walking on two legs, and comes up to the tree, grabs the branch on the tree, and crawls up into the tree. Real easy. Boom, 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 up there, and then you can hear the guttural growls and noises. Okay, and then the tree just shakes both sides of it, and when you look at the stabilizations on that MK did. You can see that there's one Bigfoot on one side of the tree and another Bigfoot on the other side of the tree. And then after he shakes the tree, I don't know what they're doing, playing around or something, but and you hear the guttural noises, and then the Bigfoot crawls down the tree back and back to the ground, and you can see it walk around. And, it is absolutely phenomenal. And the ease that thing just went up that tree was absolutely phenomenal. But I can see... where one of these creatures could go up there. These are powerful creatures, and they could break the tree up in the top very easily.
Yes.
So, my gosh, this is something else. You're onto a lot of things. I went on your website, and I've seen a lot of the stuff you got. I like the face that you've captured there, the frame of the face, and that's pretty neat. That's pretty good. You got a lot of good stuff.
Well, my goal is to bring one of those turkeys in. Not dead, hopefully alive.
Yeah. Well, this is not an easy thing, I don't think, to my estimation. First of all, these things really are never really alone, I don't think. Very rarely, anyway. I think many of them, there's more than, what you see, there's more out there. In every instance that we've had a visual encounter to where we've been close, the rock throwing and all the other stuff occurred on the opposite side. And I mean, these things were, you know, you couldn't see anything. All you could see is rocks coming out of the forest. But you
right.
still see the creature that we were looking at. So they do protect each other, it seems like. And if you're out there and you're going to try to capture one of these things, you're not going to capture one and get away with it, I don't think. I think they're going to protect themselves as much as they can. And so no matter what method you use, and so when you're going to do a capture on one of these things, what you want to do is, what you got to do is you got to make sure both creature and humans are safe. And that's a very difficult thing to establish, and to a difficult environment to create. And that's why there's been such a difficult time for these times to do that. But that's a real neat thing. I mean, all that stuff going on. Thank you, Mitch, for coming on tonight again. I appreciate it. I know you're tired. Old faithful there.
Never too tired for Bigfoot.
Well, you share with us all the time. You're such a part of our team and our family, and we really appreciate all that you and your wife do. You've got a new release out, a new DVD that you've just released, a 56-minute one that you've seen up there, and it's got some choice features on it that you've done. You want to talk a little bit about that before we close the show?
Okay, it's being offered to Amazon.com. It's called Chasing the Mogollon Monster, Arizona's Bigfoot, and it's a select few video clips, documentary clips that we put together and put on the DVD. If this works out, you may be seeing more of them.
Super. Great. The more the merrier, that's what I say. But a lot of things going on. For everybody out there, I can't disclose anything in what we're doing, what Tom's doing. He's been given a gag order, and he has to uphold it. But there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things that are going to happen very soon. And we'll be around, we'll be out there, the team will be out there, and we'll be touching base with you, everybody, all you folks out there. And I want to thank Bruce Schilt tonight. He gave me a call, he gave me a contact number. Bruce and his friend are going to be on next week. They have an encounter experience that they're going to share. And also Tim Masano is going to be on next week. So all of you folks out there, Alex, you want to give us the shout-out to the close of the show, my friend?
Good night, everybody. Keep Bigfooting.
And Alex, you have
kudos and salutations. Thank you, Marco. You too.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they hold, and a promise to the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving to town.